Matthew chapter 7. And I will read the next section following that which we considered last Lord's Day. In chapter 7, look at verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. For what man is there of you who, if his son shall ask for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? All things therefore, whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, even so do ye also unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. Good things and how to get them. Let us seek God again in prayer. Our Father, thou dost know how simple and seemingly unimportant the words are that thy Son spoke, but upon reflection, we understand their profundity. We understand their depth, their incalculable worth, and that they are indispensable in the lives of the children of God. Lord, let us not be deceived by the simplicity of the things thy Son has spoken. It is he who knows the heart, and he says out of it all the issues of life. And we are thankful for all of these issues that he brings to our attention. So, Lord, we pray that thou shalt instruct us this morning by thy Spirit, illumine the page that we've read, and empower the lips of him who speaks, and prepare the hearts of those who are listening, our God. We pray that this shall be an hour that is profitable. Our God, let us know how often we come and go, and we're like those who look into the mirror and see our face, and it remains the same, whether bad or good. So, Father, work upon our hearts this morning. Thou knowest our sins. We confess them, be faithful and just, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we are assured that thou shalt do this because thou hast promised. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. This portion speaks of good things. Tell me, are you able to tell me what good things are? You've heard of the good life. It's not always good. Good things in life, but they're not always good things. But the Lord tells us that there are good things and that we can get them. What do you think of that? I've heard of some of those preachers that come and promise you success and riches and promotion? Well, I make this promise. I promise you that God will withhold no good thing from all of his children who ask him for those good things. You say, how do you know you can keep that promise? I cannot keep that promise, but I know that God is not a man that he should lie, and that God has made that promise, and God has never been proved a liar. And upon reflecting on this passage that we've read, it is a remarkable, startling declaration couched in the simplest of words for this reason. If I were preaching to you about Solomon in the Old Testament, when God came to him in a dream and he said, ask me for anything you want. What would you think if God gave you that opportunity, that he would give you anything you wanted? Would you like to have that opportunity? You'd say, of course I would. Don't you understand that the individual experience of Solomon is now promised to all of us, and his experience can be our experience. Listen to it. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You say, well, that means just a particular few. The Savior says, for everyone that asketh, receive it. Everyone. And he that seeketh, find it. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Well, who is excluded? Tell me. You say, nobody is excluded. Then, because Solomon's ways pleased the Lord, and God said, ask what you want, as in the Old Testament, the high priest alone could go into the Holy of Holies, but now in the New Testament, it says all of us can come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. So in like manner, God has come to us, not in a dream, but he has written it, and I read it to you this morning. He says, you may ask anything you want, and I will give it to you. That's hard to believe, isn't it? And you don't believe it. You say, how do you know I don't believe it? Because you have no intention of claiming this promise from God and thinking through good things and telling God, I want these good things and I'm claiming them because you have promised, and we are in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised, and you've made other promises, and now I am claiming those promises because it hasn't gripped us. If it grips us, we realize that nothing is impossible with God. But it is like something that we agree to. We've read it. We would not argue with God. And yet, when the Lord says, then ask me, we would ask the way that the church did in Acts chapter 12 when Peter was in prison. And they're crying unto God for Peter. And Peter comes and knocks on the door and is trying to get in. The answer to their prayer is knocking on the door. And Rhoda goes and tells them Peter's at the door. They said, you're out of your mind. It's his angel. Don't bother us anymore. You see? And this is what happens. That God makes us exceeding great and precious promises. And when he does, they are so exceeding great and precious that we will not avail ourselves of them. Let me ask you, when Christ appeared the third day, resurrected from the dead, it says in the Gospel of Luke that they saw him, that they listened to him, that they touched him, and it said they disbelieved for joy. It was too good to be true. And in like manner, when we come to a portion like this, it seems so simple, it seems so elementary, it seems so good to be true, that we're not going to accept it as being true, and we won't act upon it. Some may, but most of us will not act upon it, or if we do, we'll say, Lord, give me good things, and that is it. But you will find that if it were that simple, the Lord would simply say, ask and ye shall receive. But notice, it says, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. God has told us that getting what we want from him is not always a simple speaking of words in his ears one time, and having spoken those words, we do not have to speak those words again, but God immediately gives us the things that we ask for. But the Lord says strange things. It says, when he's speaking another parable, it says, shall not God avenge his elect that cry unto him day and night? He will avenge them speedily. Well, how could he avenge you speedily if you're crying unto him day and night? That seems like a long time to wait. But it says he's going to avenge you speedily. And he says here that if you ask, you shall receive. But then perhaps there is more intensity when you seek, and he says you will find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So there is such a thing as being exercised in the area of prayers, and most Christians know nothing about it. We say prayers because we would be afraid to go into the world, as dangerous as it is today, without committing our souls unto God for safekeeping. But then, there is no laying hold on these promises of God and bringing to our hearts and being assured that God is going to do them. This is what Christ is speaking of. He says, when you pray, believe that you have received and you shall receive. There is an attitude when we go into the presence of God and pray, and the Lord says that attitude must be present. But I tell you again, one of the most profound things I've ever heard was spoken by a Korean man who was a living example of Matthew chapter 7, who told how he had been lifted from obscurity, he had been lifted from helplessness, had been given a seminary education, and was now the pastor of the largest church in Korea. Thousands of people were present. They had to have meetings hour after hour after hour because the auditorium couldn't hold all the people that were coming. And this was the statement that he made that was so profound. It was this. He said, why are we to ask in prayer for the good things that we desire? And his answer was this. Because our Heavenly Father tells us that that's the way that we are to get these good things. You say, well, that doesn't sound profound to me. It's one of the most profound things I've ever heard in my life. Why are we to speak to God in prayer to get the good things that we want? Because our Heavenly Father tells us that this is the way to get them. There's nothing more profound. You want something. God says, this is the way to get it. Well, how? What? Ask. And this Korean that had been lifted from the depths, elevated to this high position, was telling about the way that he simply asked God. It was so simple. So simple. He said, here I was in Korea, the war. He said, I was stripped. I had nothing. And yet I understood that my people needed the truth of God. He said, but I had no education. I was unable to teach them. He said, for this reason, I needed a seminary education. How am I to go about getting it? He said, just what this verse says, ask. And so he said, Lord, I'm asking you. I want to feed your lambs and your sheep. Please, give me a seminary education. And he said, a man came out of nowhere and said, why, I believe that you are destined to serve God, something like this. He said, I'm going to pay your way to the United States and give you a seminary education. And so he simply said, thank you, Lord. You say, this is so simple, it seems impossible. Of course it was simple, because this man had learned the secret. Why are we to ask in prayer for the good things that we want to come into our lives? Because God says, this is the way we are to get them. And he had laid hold on that. He said, I want a seminary education. He said, what I'm going to do is to ask God for it. And God worked things together for good. And then when he was over here, he was low on money, and he kept telling and telling and telling about the times and difficulties that presented themselves to him. And he would simply say, my Heavenly Father said that the way to get good things is to ask for them. He said, Father, he said, you've gotten me here. You've taken me thus far. He said, but now I need more. I want you to give it to me. And God gave it to him. You say, well, certainly that is a unique experience. No. If it is, then you interpret that passage for me. After he says, ask, seek, knock. Then he adds, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that knocketh, or he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Tell me who is excluded. You say no one. The difference was this. This man laid hold on the promise of God, and he understood that God was truth, and that God was going to answer his prayer. All right. If that is so, then you have discovered the way to get all the good things that your life could possibly contain. I said good things, but do you know what good things are? I'm so glad that our Lord in this passage has told us this, and this also is profound. Do you realize that your Heavenly Father has as much sense in giving you good things as your earthly father? You say, well, that's elementary. It is. The Lord Jesus said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? He has told us this. He has brought our minds into the family, and you fathers and mothers who have children. He says, if you, being evil, know how to give good things unto your children, your Father in heaven, he knows how to give good things to his children. You say, why? Of course he would. Then, why not go to this God who is in heaven, who has as much intelligence as your earthly father, and as a child, I have asked my earthly father for things, and he gave them to me. And God says, I am your heavenly father, and I want you to ask me for good things, because that is the way that you get good things. You ask me. Here are some more of the strange things. Why do I have to ask you? Do you know that I have need of these things? The Lord Jesus said, your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things before you ask him. Therefore, ask. That's so strange. If he knows that I need them, why do I have to ask him? And at the same time, if there are good things I want into my life, why, without asking him, won't he send them into my life? Because of this profound statement. You get good things by asking for them. This Korean man had laid hold on that. He said, I get good things by asking my Heavenly Father for them. And whenever he wanted any good thing, he said, Father, give them to me. And in time, God worked it out and gave them to him. Now, we can't do that. Somehow we say, well, there is something missing. There is something that I can't put together. I know God does not mean that. That's the reason you'll never get good things in your life. Because half-heartedly, not believing you're going to receive them. And it says, let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And so we half-heartedly say, well, God says it, at least I'll ask anyway. But we have as much hope of God answering that prayer as those I told you of in Acts 12 had that Peter was at the door. Their prayer had been answered, and God was sending the man into them for whom they had been praying. You say, well, it's all so simple. Of course, we make it complex. What I want you to do is this. To understand that Christ has told us several things in this little pithy paragraph. He's told us many things, and if you think them through, you'll understand why many of the things you ask for, you never receive. You say, yes, I see it. It's because they're not good things, of course. Here is a loaf of bread, and here is a stone. Here is a fish, and here is a serpent. What do you ask God for? The sad thing is this, that so often we go and ask God for a stone, and what food value is there in a stone? Who can eat a stone? You said that's a worthless thing to ask for. Of course it is, but you have to have bread. You say, a fish, that's a good thing. But a serpent, you say that's a dangerous thing. You see how Christ has spoken here of something that is worthless and something that is dangerous. And if we ask for bread, God will give it. If we ask for a fish, God will give it. But at times, we ask for a stone, something that's worthless, and God pays no attention to us. In His goodness, He pays no attention to us. And we ask for a serpent, and God in His goodness pays no attention to us. And that is another benefit in praying to God. It's this. It says in Romans 8, we know not how to pray as we ought. We know not what to pray for. We don't know that. It says, but when we do pray, the Holy Spirit of God maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. I'm so thankful for that. Because many times I think this is good and I need it. And what if God said, all right, I'm just going to listen to what you say and I'm going to give you the things that you ask for. And the Spirit of God did not take the stones I was asking for and say, give him a loaf of bread. Take the serpent I'm asking for and say, give him a fish. What would your life be? Do you not realize that your life is what it is many times because you haven't asked God for good things? And at the same time, you have brought into your life, because God did not send it there, but you have brought into your life worthless things like stone and dangerous things like serpents. And I will show you what is meant. Some parents are not ideal like the ones that Christ speaks of in Matthew chapter 7. I could wish, if I were giving an object lesson, that I could pick up a child and set him in the midst. But he might go into a tantrum. And in like manner, it says, your heavenly Father knoweth how to give good things to his children. It says, if your earthly Father knows how to give good things to his children, your heavenly Father knows it as well. Some of you parents are destroying your children. They ask for serpents, and you give them serpents. They ask for stones, and you give them stones. The Lord Jesus does not even take that into consideration, and yet that is what has happened. I've seen parents give their children automobiles, high-powered automobiles. They go out on the highway, have accidents, kill themselves, injure other people. Oh, well, he asked for it. God said, yes, and I wouldn't have given it to you. And at the same time, they ask for something that is so important to them. They have to have the finest clothing. They have to have the finest appearance, and therefore we give it to them. And the Lord says, they asked you for a stone, and you gave it to them. And so they get this fine appearance, and then go and get some fellow that's unsaved, and get him to court them and marry them, and they go off and marry somebody that's unsaved, or they ask for some other thing, and it turns out to be a serpent. Listen, I will give you an example of it that is not contradictable. Samson had found a woman that he liked, and he went and told his parents. And his parents tried to dissuade him. He said, don't talk to me anymore about him. He said, go get that woman for me. She pleases me well. And his parents did it. And some of you, if your children ask you to do what you could to bring unsaved friends into their lives, you would do it. You would say, well, it shouldn't be. Yes, that, their parents said that. We told him that. We said, isn't there anyone among the children of Israel that's good enough for you? But Samson said, get her for me. She pleases me well. And his parents went and got her for him. You understand this? That if I have a child, and he said, I insist that you arrange the wedding, and I'm going to marry this unsaved girl, I would say, I'll arrange no wedding for you. And if you cut yourself off from me and I never see you for the rest of my life, I'm not going to arrange your disobeying God that says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And at the same time, if there were those friends that were dealing in drugs and questionable occupations, and I was to use my influence to introduce him to this crowd, I would refuse and say, absolutely not. I'm not interested in your getting promoted and elevated in the world for these things. Why? Because God gives me that much sense, and by His grace, I've done it. I remember my nephew stayed with me. And when they were graduating, he said, Uncle John, he said, we're all going down the beach, down to the beach. All of us are going down, all of us young people. And we're going to be down there. I said, yes, I know, but you're not going down to the beach, do you see? But you let them go down, and they get girls pregnant, and at the same time, they have diseases, they have accidents, they get drunk. And so, Uncle John, let me go down there. I said, no. And later on in life, well, I'll hate you for that. You didn't let me go and have illicit sex, and you didn't let me get drunk. Thank God, a parent said, no. If you ask God, give me a stone, would God give it to you? You say, no. If you ask God for a serpent, would he give it to you? You say, no. Well, then why, if God will not do it, do you do it? But the sad thing is this. I must add this. There are so many things that aren't there. Prayer is such a broad subject. But at times, if you keep on insisting that God give you something, you realize that at times he will give it to you. It says this in the psalm. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Now tell me, do you want to go into God's presence and ask for something you think is good, and God says, no, no, no. But you keep asking God, and finally God says, all right, I'm going to give it to you. And when it comes into your life, you get leanness of soul. I wonder just how your soul looks in the sight of God. You say, I'm healthy. Well, there is such a thing as a healthy body and a healthy soul. And when John writes to his friend in his third epistle, he says, I am praying to God that you may prosper physically as you prosper spiritually. And some of you have souls that are so lean that you would be looked upon as a consumptive. And the reason why is that you have not asked God to keep stones and serpents out of your lives, or you have insisted on God bringing these things into your lives, and God has done it, and he has sent leanness into your soul. Now, this is tragic. So, think for a moment. Here is Christ, and he's talking about prayer, and having spoken of prayer, he says this. He says, if you ask, you will receive. But James comments on it. It says, we have not because we ask not. Don't you see that that's the counterpart of Matthew chapter 7? The Lord Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. James says, you have not because you ask not. The Lord said, ask and you shall receive. James says, you did not ask and therefore you did not receive. The Lord Jesus speaks of serpents and stones and scorpions added in Luke chapter 11. And when he says that, James says, you ask because you say, yes, I've asked God. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. So here, James is commenting on what our Savior says in Matthew 7. We are exhorted of God to ask. And we do not ask and wonder why good things do not come into our lives. James says, you have not because you ask not. But man rises up and says, well, I have asked God. And James says, yes, you ask God, but you're asking for stones and you're asking for serpents and you're asking for scorpions. And God in his wisdom and in his goodness will not give you those things. Why? Because your parents are supposed to have intelligence enough not to give dangerous things to their children. Do you have that much intelligence? Christ gives you that much credit. And he tells us indirectly the inheritance of the sinful nature. I can understand Christ speaking of some derelict, some abandoned, depraved sinner in this way. He said, if you being evil, but do you know to whom he spoke those words? His disciples. And if you are Christ's disciple, do you know what he says to you? If you being evil, you've been saved, fine. But do you know what you are still within you? You are evil. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And the Lord Jesus says it again and again. He said, if you being evil, but even though you are evil, you know how to give good gifts unto your children. Think now, my heavenly Father is not evil. He is holy, and my Heavenly Father is not lacking in intelligence. He is all wise and all loving. Therefore, if this is true, whatever is essential, all that pertains to life and godliness, every good thing that God wants to come into my life shall come into my life if I do what He tells me to. And that is the solution. How do I get my life filled with good things? He says, you do it this way. You get them by asking, by seeking, by knocking. Is that all? There are ever so many other things, but basically that's it. Here is what he says in Psalm 84. He said, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Notice, no good thing. And here, it's from them that walk uprightly. It speaks of good things. He will give good things. And so, a life of fellowship with God, that pleases God. And it says this in the first epistle of John. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And so I've told you before that when Christ speaks, as a child, you may accept it. But understand that when it does not work out in its simplicity the way you think it does, you're asking God for a stone. He's not going to give you a stone. You think it through, and you say, yes, Lord, I understand why you withheld that stone. And you ask God for a serpent. Yes, Lord, I understand about that serpent. And you learn as you go through life. But the Lord says you are to ask for these things. And then the remarkable thing is this, that if you walk uprightly, it says God will not hold any good thing from you. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. If I walk uprightly, then my prayer life to God will be in harmony with his will. I will not be asking for stones and serpents and scorpions, but I'll be asking for bread, and I will be asking for fish, and I will be asking for eggs, good, beneficial things. And we cry to God, and it says, no good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. So, when I come to the end of my life, I must understand this, that if I've walked uprightly, and if I've asked my God, then my little life, my little world, has been filled by God with all the good things he thought sufficient to come into my life. Can you accept that? You want more, don't you? You want a bigger car, a bigger home, you want more money, you want ever so many other things. God says, if they were good, I would give them to you. Do you believe that? You say it says it. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. It says, your heavenly Father knoweth how to give good things to them that ask him. And so if I come to the end of my life, and I'm not as rich as some, I have not as many possessions as others, but I've asked God for these things, I know that my life has been filled to the capacity that I am able to control. And I should thank God for it. I should thank God not only for what he has given, but I should thank God for the things that he has withheld. Have you done that lately? So often, when we consider the matter, had God allowed things to come into our lives that we prayed for, we would have been destroyed. This is what it says concerning Abimelech. I have withheld thee from sinning against me. And when David wanted to go and destroy all the descendants, all the household of Nabal, God withheld him from that. And so in my life, here it is. What do I have? I have my life filled with good things. Now, do you know the greatest of good things? The Holy Spirit. That's what he says in the Gospel of Luke. It says, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? This was before Pentecost. But now that Pentecost has come, and the Spirit of God has taken up his abode in me, can I not go into God's presence and ask him through that Spirit to supply me with the things of which I am capable, empowered by the Spirit of God? You do not pray that God give you the Spirit, but you pray that God, through the Spirit, work out in your life your full potential. And that is what I want. And so let me be as rich as God wants me to, or as poor. And let God bring into my life, but keep out of my life what he thinks best. We being evil know how to give good gifts. Well, our Heavenly Father does as well. Good things. And how to get them? Ask, seek, knock. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, let us know that this thing seems so childish that we are unable to accept it. But your Son has told us these things. And he said, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let us remember that whatever he said, that he is the one who is the mouthpiece of his Father from heaven. And so if he tells us, as he told Peter, cast your net on the right side, or go out into the deep and let down for a draught. However meaningless it might seem, however useless, let us obey our God. And let us have faith. Let us be those who want good things in our lives, things that you consider good lives, and good for our lives. And our Father, let us pray to thee, and ask thee, and seek, and knock, and let us not be contented until you tell us yes or no, because we remember that you told Paul, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And so we thank you for what you are, and the teachings of thy Son. Let us believe them. Let us act upon them, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.